to be put on that earth to talk about the importance of decisions we make and how they impact our future, how they impact others. And I want to just stop, first of all, thank you, Heavenly Father, for the decision you made when our first parents rebelled and yielded to the source, that you were going to provide a way that we could come back to you. Thank you for that choice. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the choice you made to obey the Father. And Lord, as we think about decisions, I just pray use this somehow for your glory in the way you choose in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just share some kind of personal things here, but what prompted me to talk about the importance of our decisions is this little testimony that I hadn't seen for years and years, somehow in the midst of all our stuff. And it was a gift from my sister, Roberta, Christmas 1958. But what was significant to me, it was a reminder as I go to the next page and I say, I, Roger Neer, was born August 26, 1942, and was born again June 15, 1952. And this one is a great reminder to me. I fully surrendered my life to the Lord August 7, so I was 16 almost. And I want to just share some of the significant decisions in my life. You know, God has made us in such a way that He gave us choice and we're responsible for our decisions. There are decisions that are made that are just tragic. Talk about that really in Sunday school, the decision that Lucifer made and the angels that followed him to a tragic end, they believe. He was made, created in great beauty and talent and ability, and he chose to rebel and want to be like God and lift himself up. And of course, then in his fallen state, he tempted our first parents into rebellion, and we're still dealing with all of that today, but I praise the Lord Jesus that He made the choice to obey the Father. In John 8:28, Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him as the Father's Father. Continual right decisions of our Lord Jesus Christ, the right decision of our Father. We are, as we live here, we are so needing to make wise decisions all along the way. And I just decided, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share how some of those decisions came about. And the thing that I noticed is that so many of those decisions are just lifetime decisions. That first one of accepting Christ, that's an eternal decision to accept the gift of God. And some of you have heard before, but when I was very young, we had one of these big old radios, and somewhere I messed around on that, and I found that the broadcast from Hugh or HCJP, Heralding Christ Jesus Blessings, and I was enamored. By the hour, I would listen as a little kid to the gospel. It came one of the things I thought was neat later on in Canada. I listened back to the Bible from Lincoln by way of Peter Ecuador. And anyway, the reason that I say that is I became very aware of a place called hell. And I was very concerned as a kid. I don't know what to do with that. So when my parents took us to hear Dr. Bob Cook in Sioux City, Iowa, and he presented a message, I've told you this before, but I remember going through my mind, in this big crowd, my folks may not find you, but I don't care. I'll accept Jesus. There was many looking forward to it. I was the first one out there. And I'm so grateful for that decision. It was nothing I ever questioned. It was that day I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And the other decision that I just said about surrendering my life, I want to say a word about that. There were summer conferences at a place called Okoboji, Iowa. There are three lakes up in northern Iowa. And I drove from Omaha to go up there and had meetings during the summer. And my mom saw to it that we got to some of those. But in that one particular meeting, there was a missionary from Vietnam that had lost her family. All the circumstances, but her husband and children were killed. She survived. And she challenged us to give her life to Christ, to surrender to Him, and let Him do what He wants to do in our life. And the thing that I did go forward, and I chose to do that, Lord, whatever you want to do with my life. The thing that struck me, I just looked up and watched her as she prayed for those that came. But she was speaking with a strong voice, but tears were just streaming down her face. She had gone through deep, deep trials that had done something in her life. And I'm just so grateful that the Lord challenged me at that time. I remember the day that I had somehow heard Billy Graham talking to his 8-year-old daughter. She asked him, "Daddy, does God no longer marry someone?" He says, "Well, he knows everything. Let's just stop and pray for him right now." Something clicked with me on that, and I chose that day. I'm going to pray for that for another day, that God knows. And I did. And as far as I know, I probably didn't miss a day. I had no idea that this girl needed prayer. But anyway, the day came when I realized this is the same girl I didn't know. And I'm grateful for hearing Billy Graham tell his daughter that and how that clicked with me in my decision to do that and the result of that. I just appreciate that. I remember the day about 10 years ago now that I can't remember who I was listening to or what was said, but it was clear that God spoke to me that I'm not praying enough for my family. What I had been doing up to that point is we have six children, I take one family on Monday and one family on Tuesday morning. And it was clear from the Lord, everyone that needs prayer. So I made a commitment that day. I know that maybe it's not wise to tell about your prayer life, but I think something that I say might trigger something with somebody else here. But I made a commitment that day that every member of our family, those that God brought to us, and our living family, that we would lift them up in prayer every day. And I'm not saying it's always easy, it's a labor, this thing of intercession. I just think of our Lord Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for His own. And I'm so thankful that as long as that gives us strength, we do it together very often. But I'm thankful for that very special choice. Being in the spiritual battle for many years and seeing the dynamics of it, years ago I made the choice. I put that briefly in what I call my daily prayer. I did put copies up there because it's also on our website. But I realized that from James, he says, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." That it's very important daily to choose to accept what comes from God's hand. Part of this comes from he wrote two tracts. One was a warfare prayer, and the other was the days of affirmation. To sight unseen, know that what God has planned for your day is right really, that's what you want to walk in, that's what you want to accept. And I've never heard God say, I choose to accept that today. But on the other hand, what James said, resist the devil, I totally renounce and refuse what Satan has planned for me this day. And you can mark it down. He studies you, his hosts study you, they know your vulnerabilities, and they have a plan to go after you. Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I come to you know, life and life and life. So anyway, that became a daily decision to begin the day with that, to choose to refuse what's of the enemy, or to accept what's of God, refuse what's of the enemy, and then claim my protection. You know, in Ephesians 6, Paul wrote, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So you might stop paraphrasing. Do that. The very next word is put on the whole life of God. And so it becomes, to me, very important that we daily put on the whole armor of God. The pieces are given to us in Ephesians 6. Amen. But also then to choose to abide in a secret place with some anyone under his shadow. All the promises of, that are given to us in Psalm 91. And so, and I just decided to put some copies if you want to give it to somebody. It doesn't have to be with those words, but just to start the day in that way to accept and refuse, I think is very important. I also was thinking last night, we came together, last night it was sort of four of us, we've been coming down to the church here on Saturday nights for somewhere over 30 years, and rarely is it ever missed. We've had a few, some of the ones that have come over the years are home with the Lord. But at the time, my recollection is, I don't know the date, but we were having a picnic out at the Jarrett's. And at that time, we were having some things going on, some vandalism was happening at the church here, and some internal battles with some of the people we were trying to help. And we said, we're going to go down and pray tonight, just for the services for our church family. And that's one of those decisions we kept doing. 30 years. I praise God for those that are willing to spend some time coming together here on Saturday nights. In my thinking through about decisions, I would remind you of something I think I've told you before. I really appreciate getting to know Francis Grubbs, who for years here was superintendent of St. Christian. He was president of school up there in Twin Cities, and did a lot of things. But I remember him saying, my concept, I have an idea that at the judgment seat of Christ, that the Lord Jesus maybe is going to bring out a schematic here and just say, you know, I had this plan for you here, and you decided, yes, I'm going to do it. And I had this plan for you here, you wouldn't do it that way. And this is what I did. Plan would open up. Just this whole idea that we're responsible for the choices we make. And it's been an encouragement for me to think about. We know that the judgment seat of Christ is for believers, and there will be brought up things that were done for us here, whether good or bad. It's not to decide about eternity. We're home with the Lord. But there's some things that need to be straightened out at the judgment seat of Christ. Some rewards, some realizing some losses, and then moving on into a wonderful eternity with the Lord. I chose to look at Joshua for encouragement of his choices, and just want to share a few things about Joshua, because at the end of his life, and I just would go there for just a moment, and you're well aware of it, but in Joshua 24, And verse 13, he says, this is Joshua saying, I have given you a land for which you did not. Actually, he's passing on from the Lord here in these first verses. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and vineyards and olive areas which you planted not. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and pray to the God that your fathers served in the bitter sons of the Lord, Joshua, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. This is what Joshua says. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're very familiar with Joshua's words on that. The challenge is us to do the same. As for me and my house, I wonder how many we've always posted that at the door of our homes, and I just think of how many thousands of homes are posting Joshua's words. First God prayed, bring those words up. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, taking responsibility for his family and for the way ahead that he would serve the Lord. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to look at Joshua. And some of the ways that God prepared him. I'm not going to turn to it right now, but it's in Exodus 17, and I'll just relate the story there. That in 17 it says, then came Amalek. Now the Amalekites were the enemies of God, they're enemies of God's people. God has said concerning the Amalekites, I will ever be at war with Amalek. The Amalekites. And I believe that there is a spirit, the spirits of Amalek, that we're still battling with. One of the things Moses said, you remember how that the Amalekites came against you when you were weak, when you were sick, and without strength. I'll always be at war with Amalek. So anyway, in that 17th chapter of Exodus, it says, then came Amalek. And so Moses said, you, Joshua, lead the battle against Amalek. And he said, I'm going to go up on that hill, and I'm going to intercede for you. I'm going to lift my hands to the Lord for you. And so he took Aaron and Hur with him up there, and we were there in the 17th chapter. It says that when the weariness let down his hands, battle would go against Joshua. When he had his hands raised to the Lord, they would be wounded. And it's a tremendous picture of the need for intercession. Anyway, Aaron and Hur sat him down, held up his hands, helped him because so he wouldn't get weary, let him down, and they went back. This is what I want you to see. It's in verse 13. And Joshua discomfited or Amalek, or he won the battle against Amalek and his people at the edge of the sword. But then the Lord says this, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. But he was showing Joshua at that time. The battle, it's not how strong your warriors are, it's not how rich or equipped, it's of the Lord. And these our battles need to be won through intercession, through bringing them to the Lord. And so that's one of the special things that I think that was laid away in specifics, rehearsing his ears. And he would always remember it's by the power of the Lord that you win your battles. He was chosen in Numbers. We read it in Numbers. But they had now come to Kadesh Barnea. If you remember, they brought the wilderness. God gave them the law there at Sinai. And after, I don't know, it was just a matter of months, they come to Kadesh Barnea where they're going to go into the land. And so they sent one man from each of the 12 tribes to go in for 40 days, look over the land, and see what it was, and then come back and report. And one thing they didn't know was that they ran later from Rahab. She was a land of terrorists. She got over the Red Sea, and they saw what was happening. But anyway, they're in there, these 12 men, they come back. 10 of them said, "Here, let's turn the week on here. There's wonderful fruitfulness in there, but there's walled cities, there's giants, and they discourage the people." I want to read you what was actually Joshua and Caleb chose to believe God and to believe that they could do it. And they had to stand against everything else because they were looking by fleshly sight. There's no way. Here's what Joshua, it's in Numbers 14, 6. "And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of those that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search it is exceeding good in it. The Lord delighteth, the Lord delighteth us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth of milk and honey. All your brethren be not against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not.' But all the congregation made stone in the stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel." So then, way back, I'm not going to go back now, but God had already promised, "I'll give you. It's going to be a gift to you. You're going to have to take it. You're going to have to battle and recover the land." Joshua and Caleb, they saw right. They chose to believe God. And they, if you talk to them, they say, "I don't want to come to it. It's the Lord. He's going to do it. He chose to trust him." And so that's one of the keys to Joshua making right decisions for the Lord. One of the other things that I would just say back in Exodus 33:11, that Moses had spent time with the Lord as the Lord had met with him face to face, it says. But there's a little word there in Exodus 33:11 that speaks to me of Joshua. "Joshua, a young man, stayed to get people to the Lord." Spend time with the Lord. And so he had learned. Joshua had learned the impact of prayer by that full thing that happened in the battle against Amalek. Then, as he is chosen to take over and fill the shoes of Moses, God told him something else to prepare him to make right decisions. And just a few verses here in Joshua 1. "For the Lord, saying that nobody's going to be able to stand against you at every place the soles of your foot will tread upon that building." And then it says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded. Don't turn to the left, to the right, that thou mayest prosper for this Lord." And you know, plenty, Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is good and perfect, for then thou shalt be very prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Two real keys in Joshua making wise choices all along the way is to know the importance of prayer, proclaiming the Amalekites, and the importance of God's word. That's quite an instruction. Somebody that's going to command the people in battle is to don't let that word leave, keep it in your mouth, and meditate in it day and night. And the reason to meditate in it day and night is that you may serve it to do. When you do it, you're going to prosper. And so, wonderful background in Joshua. And when a key to do is to meditate gives you no power to. And so then we have in Joshua 24, and verse 13, and the word is given to him, and then and his challenge, you know, the challenge is from the Lord, the challenge is from Joshua to the people. Choose to fear the Lord. Make a choice. Are you going to go back to what your forefathers of the root gods they worship, or are you going to worship the true and living God that has brought this to pass through all this time? And what he's saying, that making those decisions opens a gift of the promised land. It's a new leadership. And that's what people don't understand. Those 10 discouraged the people, and they had to wander in the wilderness for years. Their children grew up and got to go and take the land. Making right choices gives us the gift of eternal life, the gift of what God chooses for you along the way, the gift of spiritual protection, the gift of His life living through us. I asked, chose those few verses over in Judges. Say that all the elders in the days of Joshua, they served the Lord. Those that outlived served the Lord. Then there came up a generation that did not serve the Lord. What didn't they do? What did they let go? And so that came in then the days of the Judges. And remember, the key to demons is every man did that which is right. That's a disaster. Over and over again, they would sin, and then God would let enemy nations come in and ravage them, and then they'd turn to the Lord and he'd raise up a judge. Over and over that process. But in the days of Joshua, they made the choice. It was not inactivity. It was a lot of activity taking the land, but it was to do it and following and obeying. So I just going over, thinking back to important decisions. And some decisions are eternal, the gift of salvation. Some are lifetime decisions, immediate lifetime decisions. Sometimes decisions need to be made, things that we purpose to do every day. But we can't guide our decisions. Praise the Lord that He has given us, those who accept Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit that we read in John 14. He'll teach us the word. He'll prompt us what to do. We need to yield ourselves to the direction of God's Spirit in us to make those wise choices. Lord, you thank you again for the choices that you make on behalf of humanness to give us a Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your choice to always obey the Father and not back off from the offering day of pain and death for us. Guide us, Lord. I look back in my life and I'm very grateful for the times along the way you prompted me to make decisions that were more and more and more way. We pray for your grace and help in each of our lives to make those right choices in Jesus. Just say a word about this evening, and I want to take a look at some of long choices and what followed those. And at the intro, there'll be an opportunity for me to maybe do something. You want to share about choices in your life. But throughout Scripture, there we can learn from bad choices that bring disaster so that we will make wise choices. As we close, I want us to take our new books, turn to 483. This is a decision, right? How do we forgive? He's saying, I decided to follow Jesus, so I'll turn back. Let's stand together and sing the first verse.